Hello, Catholic Telegraph listeners. This is Marianne New. So very happy to be with you on this July 4th holiday. And from the Catholic Telegraph, I thought I'd read a most appropriate prayer for Independence Day. Gracious and loving God, let your Spirit be with us today. Hear our prayers and increase in us the will to follow your Son Jesus. Help us to draw on the resources of our faith as we use the opportunities of our democracy to shape a society more respectful of the life, dignity, and rights of the human person, especially the poor and vulnerable. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Another timely article here is entitled Catholicism and the American Revolution. Whenever I think about the 4th of July, I get a very specific movie scene stuck in my head. The night game scene from the 1993 classic, The Sandlot. Something about the families out in the street sharing a big cookout, the flash and crackle of sparklers, the game of baseball, Ray Charles singing America the Beautiful, and getting lost in a sky exploding with red, white, and blue just feels American. But you know what? I don't spend much time thinking about on Independence Day Catholicism's role in the American Revolution. So this year, I've done a little digging and found the biggest Catholic influences on the American Revolution and how you can make this holiday a little bit more faith-centered for you and your family. If you're going to understand Catholic involvement during the years surrounding America's Revolution, you have to know the Carroll family. The Carroll family basically define the American presence during the Revolutionary War. John Carroll was the first U.S. bishop, appointed in 1789. He founded the first American Catholic college, Georgetown University, convened the first diocesan synod in the United States, and traveled with some of America's founding fathers to try to convince the French Canadians to join the revolutionary cause. Archbishop Carroll was in a unique position in that he represented American Catholicism to the rest of the Catholic world. John's cousin, Charles Carroll of Carrollton, was the only Catholic signer of the Declaration of Independence. Charles lived in Maryland and served in the Maryland Senate from 1781 to 1800. He donated the land which would eventually become the main campus of Johns Hopkins University. Charles was the last living signer of the Declaration of Independence, and his funeral took place at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Charles was in a unique position in that he represented Catholicism to the rest of America in a time when Catholicism was not often viewed in a very positive light by many Americans. John Carroll's younger brother, Daniel Carroll, is considered one of the founding fathers, served as a delegate to the Philadelphia Convention, and was one of five men to sign both the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution. Carroll served later in life as a Maryland senator, but he couldn't be elected until after the Revolution because there were pre-revolutionary laws in Maryland that prohibited anyone Catholic from holding public office. The example of the Carroll family begs an important question of each of us. Who do you represent Catholicism to? The Carroll family carried the burden of representing American Catholicism to the rest of the world, and Catholicism to the rest of the Americans. Think about your street, or your workplace, or even your own family. Who do you represent Catholicism to? A friend recently told me a story about attending a block party on their street, and upon being introduced to a new neighbor, they said, "Oh, you're the Catholic ones." Would your neighbors or co-workers say that about you? Here are three ways you can make your Independence Day celebrations a little more Catholic. If you want to celebrate your Independence Day in a more intentionally Catholic way, a way that might help you get noticed as the Catholic family on the block, try one of these ideas. One or two. First, visit a war memorial or military gravesite and pray for those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Catholics love praying for the dead. Part of that is because we believe in sainthood and eternal life, and that our prayers in this life can have an effect on those in heaven, and that the prayers of those in heaven can have an effect on us. Almost no other Christian denomination shares in our devotion to the saints. So spend some time remembering those who have gone before you to defend the freedom you enjoy today. Second, pray before your cookout. I know this can get a little awkward, but sometimes you just have to go there. Yes, everyone else might be making noise or running around, and it might make you or them a little uncomfortable. But taking the brief moment to stop, join hands with your family, and thank God for your meal is a subtle and powerful example of living the faith in the simple moments of everyday life. 3. Invite your friends or family to pray Archbishop Carroll's prayer for America. With this one, not only do you get to do a little praying, but you also get to share with people who Archbishop Carroll was, and perhaps even a little bit about his family. You can find this prayer, and I believe that's the prayer I just read. Maybe not. Independence Day is a part of our culture. It's a beautiful and powerful celebration of one of God's greatest gifts, freedom. We hope that learning a little bit more about Catholicism's role in the American Revolution and exploring how you can celebrate in a more intentional way will bring more joy to your celebrations than ever before. So here's that prayer. We pray, O Almighty and Eternal God, who through Jesus Christ has revealed thy glory to all nations, to preserve the works of your mercy, that your church, being spread throughout the whole world, may continue with unchanging faith in the confession of your name. We pray thee, who alone are good and holy, to endow with heavenly knowledge, sincere zeal, and sanctity of life, our chief bishop, the Pope, the vicar of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the government of his church, our own bishop, all other bishops, prelates, and pastors of the church, and especially those who are appointed to exercise among us the functions of the holy ministry and conduct your people into the ways of salvation. We pray, O God of might, wisdom, and justice, through whom authority is rightly administered, laws are enacted, and judgment decreed, assist with your Holy Spirit of counsel and fortitude the President of these United States, that his administration may be conducted in righteousness and be eminently useful to your people, over whom he presides, by encouraging due respect for virtue and religion, by a faithful execution of the laws in justice and mercy, and by restraining vice and immorality. Let the light of your divine wisdom direct the deliberations of Congress. and shine forth in all the proceedings and laws framed for our rule and government, so that they may tend to the preservation of peace, the promotion of national happiness, the increase of industry, sobriety, and useful knowledge, and may perpetuate to us the blessings of equal liberty. We pray for His Excellency, the Governor of this state, for the members of the Assembly, for all judges, magistrates, and other officers who are appointed to guard our political welfare, that they may be enabled by your powerful protection to discharge the duties of their respective stations with honesty and ability. We recommend likewise to your unbounded mercy all our brethren and fellow citizens throughout the United States, that they may be blessed in the knowledge and sanctified in the observance of your most holy law, that they may be preserved in union and in that peace which the world cannot give, and after enjoying the blessings of this life, be admitted to those which are eternal. Finally, we pray to you, O Lord of mercy, to remember the souls of your servants departed, who are gone before us with the sign of faith and repose in the sleep of peace. The souls of our parents, relatives, and friends, of those who, when living, were members of this congregation, and particularly of such as are lately deceased, of all benefactors who by their donations or legacies to the church witnessed their zeal for the decency of divine worship and proved their claim to our grateful and charitable remembrance. To these, O Lord, and to all that rest in Christ, grant, we beseech you, a place of refreshment, light, and everlasting peace. Through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Oh, how beautiful and timely. And now let's remind ourselves of the festivals that are up and coming. On the list are those now that will take place on the weekend of July 19th. So we have Immaculate Conception in Salina. We have Immaculate Heart of Mary in Anderson Township, all starting on Friday, July 19th. Mary Help of Christians in Fairborn. St. Cecilia's Festival in Oakley. St. Gabriel's Summer Fest in Glendale. St. William in Price Hill. So those are the ones taking place on the weekend of July 19th. Now, I was caught unaware to find out that our Pope has met with Putin just yesterday. I didn't know that was up and coming. So I'm pulling up that article now so we can all be updated. Pope Francis welcomed Russian President Vladimir Putin to the Vatican, July 4th, and the two discussed the ongoing wars in eastern Ukraine and in Syria, the Vatican said. Russia plays a major role in both conflicts. At the end of the 55-minute private meeting, Alessandro Gassotti, interim director of the Vatican Press Office, issued a statement describing the discussions as cordial. The Pope and the President, he said, expressed their satisfaction at the development of bilateral relations, which included the signing in Rome, July 4th, of a collaboration agreement between the Vatican's Bambino Gesù Pediatric Hospital and pediatric hospitals in Russia. Pope Francis and Putin, quote, then turned their attention to various questions of relevance to the life of the Catholic Church in Russia, as well as a discussion of the ecological question and various themes relating to current international affairs, with particular reference to Syria, Ukraine, and Venezuela, where Russia has been supportive of embattled President Nicolas Maduro. It was the third time Pope Francis and Putin have met at the Vatican. They met in November of 2013 and again in June 2015. Putin arrived late for each of the meetings, including July 4th when he was an hour late. When reporters entered the room after the two had met privately, Putin told the Pope, "Thank you for the time you have dedicated to me." It was a very substantive, interesting discussion, he said. In the traditional gift exchange, Pope Francis gave the Russian president a signed copy of his message for World Peace Day 2019 and an 18th century etching of St. Peter's Square, quote, so you don't forget Rome. Putin gave the Pope a large icon of Saints Peter and Paul and a DVD of a Russian film about the artist Michelangelo. After the meeting with the Pope, Putin and Russian foreign minister met with Cardinal Pietro Parolin, Vatican Secretary of State. The ongoing war in eastern Ukraine, where Russian-backed separatists have been battling government forces since 2014, had been expected to be a major topic of the discussion. On the eve of the meeting, Archbishop Pazzi of the Archdiocese of the Mother of God in Moscow told Vatican Radio, "Even though we are not aware of the program of the meeting, I can imagine that themes dear to the Holy Father, such as peace and safeguarding our common home, are likely to be on the agenda of discussion." The Archbishop also indicated it was unlikely that the visit would result in a long-awaited invitation for the Pope to visit Russia, a dream that was particularly close to the heart of St. John Paul II. Although an invitation from the government is essential, he noted, the Vatican would not plan such a trip without a separate invitation from the Russian Orthodox Church. Quote, and it is not likely the Russian president will invite the Pope on his own without the backing of the Orthodox Church. While Vatican-Russian Orthodox relations have steadily improved, and Pope Francis personally met with the Patriarch of Moscow, tensions continue, including over the Vatican's support for the Ukrainian Catholic Church. Pope Francis' meeting with Putin took place the day before the Pope was to begin a two-day meeting with the head of the Ukrainian Catholic Church. Announcing the meeting in May, the Vatican press official has said, the Holy Father wishes to give a sign of his closeness to the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, which carries out pastoral services both at home and in various places of the world. In 2016, Pope Francis asked Catholics throughout Europe to take up a special collection for people suffering from the war in eastern Ukraine, and he made a $5 million donation of his own. The ongoing Pope for Ukraine project continues to assist people in the war zone and those displaced by the fighting. Wow. So that was all news to me. There's an article, that talks about migrants. Migrants are persons like us. Border bishops offer prayers after deaths. Catholic bishops from both sides of the border near McAllen, Texas, issued a joint statement expressing condolences to the families of migrant children and parents who recently drowned during trying to cross the river into the United States. Bishop Donald Fiores of Brownsville, Texas, and Bishop Eugenio Rugarci of the neighboring Diocese of Matamoros, Mexico, issued the statement in English and Spanish June 28th, saying their respective border dioceses express with much pain the sorrow of the whole community upon hearing of the parents and children that have recently lost their lives upon crossing the Rio Grande River, seeking a better life. They mentioned in particular the deaths of 25-year-old Oscar Martinez Ramirez and 23-month-old daughter Angie Valeria, a Salvadorian father and daughter whose bodies were photographed after they drowned in the river that flows across Texas and Mexico and forms part of the U.S.-Mexican border. We offer our condolences to the families and loved ones of those who have died, and we recall that over the course of years, countless persons have lost their lives in a similar manner, many whose names are known to God alone, the statement said. The statements also mention the recent deaths of a mother in her 20s and her 3 children, whose bodies were found by authorities on federal land near the U.S. side of the river, close to McAllen, on June 28th. They have not been identified. The border community of Brownsville, where Bishop Flores serves, held a vigil late Sunday to remember the deaths of the Salvadorian father and daughter, whose bodies were reported to El Salvador for burial the weekend of June 27th and 28th. They were repatriated to El Salvador. United to the families that suffer these sorrows, with whom we have been able personally to speak and pray, we ask God the Father for the eternal rest of their deceased loved ones, and we ask that He fill loved ones who remain with strength and hope in these difficult moments, the bishop said in his statement. Also, as we recognize the good that many persons do for our migrant brothers and sisters, we invite everyone, governments and society, to be ever aware that migrants are persons like us, with dignity and rights, with needs, sorrows, and hopes, they said. We must extend a hand to help them have a better future, following the teaching that Jesus has given us. Do unto others whatever you would have them do to you. All right, the next article regards a Chicago woman's healing is a miracle in Cardinal Newman's sainthood cause. I may not have time to read this whole article, but a few prayers to Blessed John Henry Newman became a constant dialogue and then a desperate response to an emergency for Melissa Villalobos of Chicago. Her healing, which saved her life and the life of her unborn child, was accepted as the miracle needed for the 19th century British cardinal's canonization. Pope Francis announced July 1st that he will declare Blessed John Henry Newman a saint on October 13th, coincidentally, the miracle accepted for his beatification in 2010 also involved someone from the United States. Deacon Jack Sullivan, 71, of Marshfield, Massachusetts, was healed of several spinal conditions in 2001. So that's all I have time for today. God bless you all, and I'll be with you again in 2 weeks. This is Mary Ann Newt, St. Margaret of York Parish in Loveland. God bless you.